It's half past nine, and I think we are good to go with our meeting. So good morning, honorable members and colleagues. So we welcome the Minister of Public Enterprises, the Chairperson of the Board of Eskom, and members of the board, the CEO, and the executives of Eskom. We are meeting this morning in continuation to our meeting from last week, which we had to postpone for reasons which were spelled out, and last week, and no need to get into those today. So this meeting is a continuation into the annual report of Eskom, expansions, deviations, and investigations. However, before we start, colleagues, I will request that, if I may crave your indulgence. Yesterday, you will recall that we received correspondence from the CPO, the Chief Procurement Officer of Eskom, which, by the looks of things, had been sent to quite a number of persons and structures, including but not limited to ourselves. So it was a correspondence which was necessarily directed at myself, but to all committee members. And there were members whom had indicated that they had not received it, and it was subsequently circulated by two members. So I would just like to think, colleagues, we need to clear the woods insofar as that matter is concerned first, so that we can proceed in a manner where we are on the same page, because last week, the Honorable Dirk, in his questions, amongst others, he included a question about the whereabouts of the CPO. We were informed then by the CEO that the CPO was on sick leave on one hand, but on the other hand, he had been suspended. And we are now in receipt of correspondence from him. This
Chair, I think you're breaking up, Chairperson. You are not audible any longer, Chairperson. Mrs. Ngabinde, if you can please just check with the chairperson there to get him back online. Thank you.
We'll do that, Mr.
Comment has got absolutely and been reported by my breaking. All right, am I audible now? Where did you lose me? The CPO? Am I audible now, colleagues?
Yes, you're audible now, Chair. Now you're no longer audible. No, you're audible. I can hear you. You're audible.
Maybe turn off your video feature.
All right. Colleagues, am I audible?
Turn off your video feed, Chair. You're breaking up, and start from the beginning.
All right. Am I audible now?
Yes,
much
very
clear,
clear.
Chair.
Oh,
much better.
Apologies about that. Right. Thanks for bringing that to my attention, Honorable Dirk. Right. Colleagues, I was indicating that we have got a slight, we find ourselves in a slight bind because we were informed last week that the CPO is on sick leave on one hand and suspended on the other hand, pending disciplinary processes, which of course is purely an internal Eskom matter. However, yesterday all members received correspondence from the CPO, or as cited in the email that it was being circulated to all members. Some members indicated that they had not received it, it was subsequently then sent to them. That difficulty and that issue now muddies the waters somewhat. So before we proceed, colleagues, I would like us to just get from ESCOM to take us into confidence about that issue, not the merits and demerits of the allegations against the CPO, because that's their internal matter, but where things are at this point. Then I'll explain why once I've received the response. And then I would like to ask colleagues in the presence of ESCOM to thresh this matter out, because let me just leave it at that. So if I may welcome the DPE and ESCOM to the meeting, and then Minister, we will come to you shortly. So can we get from the CEO, because last week two things were presented to us, sick leave and a suspension. Am I still audible, colleagues?
Yes, you are very audible, Chair.
I'd like to hand over to the CEO then on that matter, or the board, on the status of the CPO, so that there's clarity. Is it sick leave or suspension?
Can I answer to the committee?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Morning, Chairperson. You may proceed.
Good morning. Thank you for bringing this matter right at the beginning so that we can have clarity, as you have indicated. As far as the board is aware, and it has been informed by the executive management, the CPO has been suspended, and there is a disciplinary inquiry by an independent process that is going to take place. I think the history of this matter stretches obviously over a year, and there has been exchanges of letters to myself, to the Office of the President, the Office of the Minister, and so forth. But as matters stand, we are in the process of a disciplinary inquiry against the CPO. And maybe I think I would urge that we all observe that internal process and await its outcome. Secondly, I do feel that we cannot address, I think, some of the issues we are confronted with in this meeting with SCOPA go to the heart of the procurement process that obviously involve the office of the CPO. And maybe that's where the problem may be, but all that we're dealing with in terms of deviations and expansion is the work of the CPO, or is under the leadership of the CPO. So my humble suggestion to the committee is that we leave the internal processes at ESCOM to take its course and come back to this committee to give the full, I think, interpretation and response as to what has happened. Because at the moment, I think there is more to the story than what appears in the correspondences that I have seen. And I'm not at liberty at this point, I think, to go to the depth of that. But there is more to this story that is not being said that has to do with what is going on. So, Chair, I would plead that we let the internal processes take their course and promise to report back to this committee the full story that would be uncovered by an independent process of a disciplinary inquiry. That's my
Chairperson. No, thank you very much, Prof. Colleagues, I'm advised that in as much as we may be heard, can please turn on your cameras when you speak. The meeting is being streamed by Parliament's communication service. So I know I'm having issues. I will try my level best. If not, it's not my handsome face that you need to see. You just need to hear what I have to say. Right. No, and thank you very much, Chair, for that explanation. And it's precisely why I thought I should raise this matter at the outset, because the context of the correspondence that we have received has got a material bearing on the issues related to procurement, and the allegations thereof are very, very serious. We have to make a determination about how we deal with those, at the same time also ensure that we observe the protocols of the disciplinary processes that ESCOM is undertaking. So, colleagues, I thought we should deal with that because it stems out of our meeting last week. There's correspondence that we received yesterday, and it has been brought to my attention that there is other correspondence that was sent to me, which I may not have seen at the time on the 16th and 17th of February, which I'm still going to look at. So that was, for whatever reason, I did not see that, but I am advised by the Secretariat that there is prior correspondence from the 16th and 17th of February. Had I known last week, I would have raised the matter then. So colleagues, the bind here is expansions and deviations. The fruitless and irregular expenditure are primarily the focus of the committee. And there are allegations, some which have been made to against the CEO, which for me presents a very, very serious, complex dilemma, in that the CEO will be here responding to questions amongst others, yet now we are in receipt of allegations against him. So I'm placing that. I'm not derailing the meeting, but I believe that this matter does require our attention, and we needed ESCOM here to take us on board on the status of what I can only now call a formal complaint late to the committee. I wouldn't even stretch it to the level of whistleblowing. It's not on that level. Here, an official in ESCOM presenting to us very serious allegations. Right. I note that there are hands, Honorable Dex.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And Chairperson, yes, you are correct in saying that the matters that we are discussing, the issues that we are dealing with here today, do have a material bearing in what is raised in the letter of the Chief Procurement Officer. So we can't just brush it aside and say, no, let us continue. Because the serious allegations that are being raised by the Chief Procurement Officer definitely have a bearing on what we are discussing here today. Now, Chair, I do not want us to confuse the issues there, Chair. In no way must we confuse the issues there. Chair, the Chairperson of the Board, when he was responding to you, is indicating to us that we must allow the committee to continue with its disciplinary process. And I agree with it. And we should not interfere in the disciplinary processes of the internal disciplinary processes of ESCOM. But that is not what we are discussing here. We are not discussing the internal disciplinary processes of the of the suspended CFO that will have to appear before the disciplinary committee. No, that's not. That is not what we are discussing here, Chair. So therefore, let us not confuse the issues. Let's park that one side. What we're discussing here and what we want clarity on here is that there are serious allegations that is of irregularities that's been made against the CEO of ESCOM. Now, we need clarity from the board, because these allegations was made prior to the CFO being suspended. He was not suspended yet when these allegations was made. So we need clarity from the board. And just three questions to the board. And then I want to ask a question to the minister thereafter, after the board have responded to my three questions. The first question is, can the board please explain to us, as the SCOPA, what is the governance process that they need to be followed when allegations of irregularity are reported to them? What is the governance process that they need to follow when they receive a complaint of irregularities? The second question I want to ask about, when did they become aware of these allegations that the CFO are raising, and which the CFO have now sent an official letter to the to Scopa? I want to know from him, when did they become aware of these allegations that when of the CFO? And then lastly, I need to know from the board, what action did they take when they became aware of these allegations? Because this happened long before the suspension. And please do not bring the suspension of the CFO and that disciplinary process in this discussion, because it's not part of this discussion. We want to know, what did the board do when these allegations were serious allegations were raised against them? Because you see, now we have a letter from the chief financial officer, and we cannot, as the committee, take out the popcorn and become bystanders. No, we cannot do that. We have to take action on this matter now, because it's now been raised officially with Scopa. So once we have a response, rather have a response to those three questions from the board, I want to do a follow-up question and one question to the minister. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me, I only see only one hand as well. Honorable Van Minen, unless you would want those questions responded to, and then you will come in with yours.
No, thank you, Chair. I actually would like to respond now. Really do have
to close the questions now. All right.
Thanks. Scopa works to a schedule. This hearing has already been delayed since last week, or certain aspects of this hearing. We need to work through it. We received the document some time ago. We have gone through that. I would like to point out that in those documents, the AG raises the issue of procurement. There are serious issues with procurement. So that aspect is already before us. But what concerns me, and I think we really have to be careful as Scopa, if we start responding to letters that we get 24 hours before a hearing, that completely changes the ambit of what we are supposed to be investigating, when we already have the documentation and the annual report that is the subject of this meeting, I'm very concerned that it gets very easy to essentially preempt Scopa's agenda by going into populist directions to actually distract us from the work that we have to do. And I really think we need to move forward with this hearing as scheduled. We have been told by the chairman of the board that there is an independent inquiry. I'm very concerned that if we start airing these issues now and going down, however tempting avenues might be, that we start compromising that. And I really think we need to take that into account. We cannot discuss this matter without discussing the potential DC implications and procedures of ESCOM. So I really think we must not allow a precedent to creep in where it is possible for people who have potential grievances, be they valid or invalid, to start hijacking Scopa to go down populist avenues instead of actually doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. Thank you.
All right. It's fine. The board and then Honorable Tulash and Honorable Mento will follow, or Mento and Honorable Tulash will follow.
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank the Honorable Deck for asking the questions that he has asked, the three questions, and I will take them as he has asked them. What processes does the board at ESCOM follow when matters such as that which you have received arises? First of all, ESCOM as an organization has got a grievance procedure and process and system. So if anybody has got allegations or has got complaints that they need to raise, they raise them through the processes that are entrenched and have been approved at ESCOM over the years. This is the grievance process that is followed at ESCOM. That is the first. So there is a grievance process. So everybody presents their allegations or grievances to that process, not to the board of ESCOM. The second question that Mr. Derek asked is, when did the board, or when did I become aware of this matter. I became aware of Mr. Soli Chitangano's issues last year in February. He sent me a letter that he had copied to the office of the president, and he had copied it also to the office of the minister. I went through this letter with the allegations that were contained in the letter, and I came to the conclusion that this was a matter that was really within the realm of the executive management. Because the reasons for this letter arose when the chief executive officer confronted Mr. Chitangano about his performance. These complaints did not arise spontaneously out of somebody wanting to complain about the GCE, but it was because the GCE had confronted the CPO on performance that we received these complaints. Now, the issues raised in those allegations were issues that the GCE...
Yes.
Exigency. Chair, I don't want us to get into merits and demerits and listen to assumptions. We need facts presented to us, because I'm sensing that what the chair of the board is saying, that what the chief procurement officer raised, it was prompted by the performance. And I don't think that has been proven to be the fact. It might be his view. And we don't want to sit here and start engaging on views, suspicions, and understanding. Let's deal with facts, what is presented before us.
I'm presenting facts. I'm not presenting views. I'm presenting facts. Because the letter came to me, and I'm responding to your colleague. And I'm not going into the merits of
Wait. Let us get the full responses, which in my view are the perspective of the board. So to
Chair,
being in the assessment. Chair, it is uncomfortable as the answers might be. Let's get the answers which are the record of the board.
Chair, we must not find ourselves dealing with the merits and demerits and compromising the case. That I'm cautioning against it.
No, I fully understand. But
can I come in as a person to ask a question, Chair?
Right. Okay, yeah, let's hear you, but I really hoped this would be
I asked three simple, straightforward questions. I did not ask what gave rise to these allegations that are being made by the suspended CPO, because that is the allegation. I did not ask what gave rise to it. All I just asked is, when did you become aware, you and the board became aware of these allegations? Yesterday, today, last year? Simple answer. The other question was, what action did you take? I took action, I took no action. Simple questions are asked. I did not ask about what gave rise to the allegations and justifications for the chair. I just asked three simple questions because I need to ask a follow-up question thereafter. Thank you.
Okay. Colleagues, I hear you. But what I'm saying is it's important so that we can get into the work that we have. So, Chairperson of the Board, please conclude on your responses, and then Honorable Dolashe and Mendo will come in, and then we will make a determination on this matter on how we move forward.
Okay, let me just be brief. As I indicated, that the process that is followed at ESCOM is that there is a complaint procedure that everybody must follow. Secondly, I received these complaints in February last year. Thirdly, the action that was taken was to refer the matter back to the EXCO and the procedures that needs to be followed at ESCOM, which is the grievance procedure that is now being followed. Thank you.
Right. No, thank you very much, Prof. Right. Honorable Menten Tolasha. And then we will bring this matter to a close. Right, Honorable Mente?
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, last week, when we were postponing the issue of the annual report, due to reasons that were forwarded by ESCOM, and then we had to deal with deviations and expansions. An aspect of procurement became a basis of the deviations and the expansions that we were dealing with. And if you look at how we wanted to probe into the expenditures, the irregularities, and the contribution thereof of ESCOM into deviations and expansion, it became clear that we needed to understand from officials responsible for those requests. And without a doubt, procurement processes have the head, which is a chief procurement officer. And we therefore requested that this meeting must have the chief procurement officer based on the two reasons that were forwarded to us, that one was he was sick, the other one was there was a suspension that was not sure of. And another reason then again came forth that no, his suspension is not based on the deviations and the expansions and the annual report. We therefore made a recommendation and took a resolution as this committee that we must have this committee today, where the chief procurement officer must be summoned to come and respond on his signature that appears on deviations and expansion. That's the basis of our own primary task as SCOPA. And that's how we've been probing all these other departments. So what then becomes an issue here is that, yes, yesterday we were then forwarded this correspondence on allegations by the chief procurement officer that he had made way before this annual report. And there was no action taken. But then when the annual report is about to be probed, and it has very serious concerning irregularities that have been picked up by the AG and the financial statements that are forwarded. So what's the basis of our own investigation? It's on how they have spent the public purse. So who then leads the expenditure of the public purse? The majority of what happens at ESCOM is procuring services. And the person who procures services is now having to be responsible to the schools. That's why we wanted to have the chief procurement officer in the meeting. Now, the issue of merits, which is being raised by Honorable Hardebe, is we are not going to get into any of the merits of the disciplinary hearing that ESCOM is undertaking. We have no business interfering in their internal affairs. By all means, they must continue with their disciplinary hearing. All what we want to hear is the chief procurement officer taking us through letters that are bearing his own signature, requesting procurement, majority of them that have been turned down by National Treasury. And why are those things were happening? And what consequences have been taken by ESCOM? And if then the chief procurement officer is not here, how are we going to investigate the irregular expenditure, which is very high, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the annual report, and how are we going to go to deviations and expansions? I'm sitting with letters that are bearing Solid Chitangano's signature, requesting deviations from National Treasury that were turned down. Now we want to understand, what were the processes, why did it get there, and what's going to happen? We cannot be subjected to the very same unfair treatment that was happening last week, unfortunately, Che. Last week, where the CEO was calling everyone, that one please answer for us, that one please answer for us, that one please answer for us. The practice of SCOPA, if you remember, Che, even when we were probing the very similar issues with SABC, we had the letters, the signatories. We want the signatories of the letters to explain to us, why didn't you follow the process? Why didn't you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And then if those people must be charged, that's what we say in the hearing. We don't want to hear as another person, a subordinate of that one, talking on behalf of that one. We're not going to get anywhere. So the basis of this hearing is on the people who have signatures that have requested deviations that are responsible for irregular expenditure that has been incurred by ESCOM to answer themselves here today. And then the board chairperson and the CEO must take action against those people. That's what we want to know. The issue of the disciplinary hearing for me is neither here nor there. And the questions that were raised by Honorable Derf are relevant because the letter we received was telling us that these allegations were raised way before. They were not investigated by the board. They were not investigated by DPE. And now all of a sudden, the person who raised the matters is suspended. That's an unfair labor practice. He is an employee. That's why he's now raising it to us. We're not going to shy away and say we're interfering. It's been brought to our attention. We want to hear from themselves. What action do they take? What do they do? And then it leads now to the disciplinary hearing. That must be answered because we must also play the role of being the public representative for everyone. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right, colleagues, let us try and find a convergence towards the conclusion on this topic. Ma'am Dolashe?
Thank you very much.
There will be, if I'm not mistaken, the last one on this one. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, I am concerned about the space that we're in now. My colleague earlier on put before you that we adjourned the meeting last week with the understanding that the chief procurement officer will be here today to come and account. And that is the case. I don't think we're going to accept anything else less than that, because when this decision was taken, we were all here. No one indicated to say or advised the committee to say he might not be here for reasons that is known by them. And in fact, Chair would have agreed on this if that was not the case. So can the board explain to us whether what they are saying today is consistent to what was discussed and agreed last week about the absence of the chief procurement officer and the rearrangement of this meeting. I really wouldn't want us to get into areas where we don't need to get to. We're not going to. But can we be taken into confidence by the board, Chairperson, so that we can understand where we are? We are going to proceed in doing our work. However, we cannot create an impression that there was no understanding between us, the board, and the executive in rearrangement of this meeting and the people who were supposed to be here and whom they were not there last week, with the reason that we could not understand, because there were many things there was off sick, and also there was suspension that we got to know about. So can we just be taken into confidence, Chair? And secondly, the last one, can you be really assisted not to be sent letters within 24 hours before this COPPA 6? Because that is disruption on its own. I guess whoever who writes to you 24 hours before the actual meeting, we should ignore that correspondence, because it confuses the whole thing. For instance, now you are made to apologize on the letter that you did not read that had relevance on the meeting. For me, that is out of order, Chair. How I wish the board and the executive can correspond with you in time, such that you can be able to find time to go through with those letters and see how best are you going to lead the COPPA in taking our work forward. But this thing of letters that are coming in between the meeting, I don't think they are going to assist us going forward. But I really would want to say, Chair, let board give us clarity before we get to anything else, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mama. The correspondence which I was referring to of the 16th and 17th is from the Chief Procurement Officer. It's just on that point, but maybe I didn't clarify it correctly. It will be circulated as well to members. Right. Honorable Hadebe, over to you.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps let me explain my interjection earlier so that we are not caught out of context, Chair. The principle of audi alteram partem is the principle that no person should be judged without a fair hearing. Now, what I was trying to protect the board chairperson from is to appear to have already taken a view or a position on the matter of what informs the allegation from the chief procurement officer without those matter being tested. And to us, that would have appeared as if already what is indicating or seeks to suggest to us is that the complaint and letter sent to us by the chief procurement officer is not genuine. He constantly said there's more to it than what meets the eye. So I was trying to protect him from venturing into such. My interjection was not meant to disrespect in any way, because that would be uncomfortable for me to sit in a meeting whereas that decision or perception has already been created into allegation that we view as serious, as articulated by the letter sent to us by the chief procurement officer. We're not privy, of course, to details, but I'm trying to warn and caution that let us not venture there. It is a dangerous statement to have come out that we know what informed those allegations without testing them. That's all I wanted to
No.
Caution, Chair. Thank you.
No, I agree with you.
And if indeed that's the view of the board, then we're in trouble. Thank you.
No, I hear you. And I don't think there was any interpretation gearing towards disrespect at all. I think the point is taken. I think maybe all I was saying is, as you are concluding, let's hear the thinking of the board on this matter. And I think we have heard it, as you have correctly articulated it. So I don't think there's any interpretation of disrespect at all. You were well within your rights to raise the point you did. But right, I think that was the final hand. All right. Colleagues, I would like to see. The reason why I raised this was not to say we're not having a hearing. No, it's not that. But I think the matters are substantive enough that they required our attention, and we need the clarity of ESCOM on the issue of the CPO so that we may be in a position to respond accordingly to the matters. As the chairperson of the board indicates, they have received these issues last year in February. That's 13 months ago. February 2020, that's 13 months ago. And they are continuously now being raised. And I'm not even for one moment suggesting that we are chasing the media headlines. No, whatever has been raised in the public domain, yes, we may take note of it because we are a public accounts committee, and so issues raised in the public must get our attention. It's a totally different ball game when the matters are placed squarely before us. And we must be able to respond to them because, as I said last week, it took me by surprise that it took our probing to be told that the CPO was suspended when we were dealing substantively and substantially with issues which were in his purview. So ordinarily, we would not have known and probably would have found out through the media. That lack of upfrontness for me was problematic. So it's why I raise it. Two, we are now settled with allegations before us which are being made against the CEO. And so, well, I mean, there's two options. Either we ignore the correspondence, or if we have to deal with it, we need to deal with it within the parameters of due process, which is fair to the one who's raising them, but also fair to the CEO. And Honorable Hadebe rightly points us to the Audi rule and just the issues of natural justice. The issues are that serious in my view. I don't think we can proceed with not having dealt with the letter when the allegations are made against the CEO and they are being made by the CPO. I think the seniority of these two persons in the organization, with such a huge budget, by the way, and one of such national importance, national strategic importance, in fact, once we receive issues, we must deal with it. So, colleagues, I'm going to suggest that Honorable Hadebe will go into the annual report, and Honorable Van Minen will be on standby for investigations. But substantively, there's the issue of the expansions and deviations. And I am saying, colleagues, this is not without precedent. We have received correspondence from the leader of the UDM insofar as matters of the DBSA are concerned. And we invited him here to make representations to us. And we are scheduled to meet with the people against whom the allegations were made, consistent with the Ultram Partem rule. And therefore, the same needs to apply here if we are to deal with this matter in good faith. So I would suggest that I be given the opportunity to consult with Parliamentary Legal on how we deal with this complex matter in the context that the issues raised are raised by the CPO who is suspended, but the issues predate the suspension and have been raised with various structures well before the suspension. And therefore, I do not consider the letter by the CPO to be a response to the suspension, because the issues have been raised prior, well ahead of then. And in any case, the allegations are very serious. And so the CEO will have to be afforded an opportunity to address us and respond to the allegations that have been made against it. So we will put the issues that have been raised to him. The CEO will recall that in one meeting, there was a comment that was made during the meeting, which did not sit well with him. And he raised that with me, and I, and so therefore, I think let's not venture down the same slope where issues are raised and not addressed. So I think that a committee investigative process must ensue on this matter, given the importance of ESCOM. It is very, very urgent. And so because we are meeting tonight, colleagues, I will, during the day, consult with legal. I propose that we set up a process which will substantively look at these matters. A committee investigative hearing to be scheduled at the earliest convenience whilst observing all the necessary legal protocols at play, and for ESCOM to be also allowed the space and time to pursue its own internal disciplinary processes, as the chairperson of the board has reported to us. And we commend that where there are issues, they be investigated by ESCOM, and where disciplinary processes are due, they must be pursued. I'm sure that the CPO is competent enough to respond at that platform on issues which are placed before him as allegations of a disciplinary nature. He will ventilate those there. I think we have expressed ourselves in a similar fashion insofar as the matter of the Director General of Public Works is concerned, that he will observe the protocols of the disciplinary processes there. But here we are now settled with allegations which have got a material bearing on the issues of procurement, expansions, deviations, and consequently the irregular expenditure amongst others. So I think, colleagues, we are duty bound to deal with it then. So I'm making that proposal that we explore that process. And then Honorable Hatebe will then venture into the annual report, and we traverse it. And Honorable Van Ninen, you will be on standby to traverse investigations. I see in the group, Honorable Dex, over to you, and then we will proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I agree with you that the latter part of your comments, that yes, consult with legal, because we definitely need to do an investigation regarding these serious allegations that has been made against the CEO. So I fully agree with that. We need to proceed there so we can do the investigative allegation. Where I have a difficulty, Chair, is when you say that Honorable Hatebe must continue today. Because what we is before us today, the annual reports and the deviations and expansion, that is exactly the issue, serious issue that are being raised in that letter, which was raised 13 months ago. 13 months ago it was raised with the board, and the board did not act. The board done nothing about it. They did not act. The chairperson publicly said yes, he have seen it, and that was public, and where he said that they have seen it, and that he had an informal discussion with the CEO regarding those the allegations from the CPO. Now we are dealing with the very same issue in today's meeting, the expansions and deviations that was raised in that cause complaints against the CEO 13 months ago. So I do not know how we proceed in the absence of the CPO. And that's why last week we adjourned this meeting. So I do not know if we do any justice to this matter if we're going to proceed without it. So I prefer this.
we go to the straight investigation route. Shall just in here and we thanks.
Okay. Where I was, Honorable Dex, is the matters pertinent and substantively and specifically related to the CPO will be subjected to the process of an investigative committee inquiry / hearing first, so that we clear the woods. And the issues will be put before the CEO as they have been sent to us and other correspondents. And in a similar fashion as we have done on the DBSA matter. Also on the, and I think my memory serves me well, in 1 year, Scopa dealt in a similar way with a land bank matter. So there is precedent to this. But what I'm saying is that I'm proposing that we resolve on saying we are going to have an inquiry into this matter as a matter of urgency in one way or the other. But I think let's share what the... So maybe let me share a colleague's reaction to the proposal, and then we Honorable Hadebe, we'll start on the annual report, and we'll deal with the broad thematic matters. So that we move. So I just want to place that, colleagues, and then we move on.
Yeah, I've got my hand up, Chair.
Oh, right. Sorry, just that sometimes I don't look at the raised hand section. Right, the Honourable Minister?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to members of the committee and others that might be listening on. I just want to make a few quick points without interrupting your flow. The first is that when my parliamentary liaison officer became aware that you have a letter, he's been trying to access the letter, but that letter, a copy of which has not been given to him yet, so we are in the dark about which particular letter you're referring to. Secondly, there was a letter that was sent, but it wasn't as long ago as February last year, to my office. I referred that letter to the board, and the board chairperson has now made reference to it. Thirdly, on the matter of deviations and so on, I think at the last meeting, you dealt with previous financial years, and then you asked for information on the 2020-2021 financial year, which I think is what you have before you. On the question of the inquiry, I mean, that's well within your hands. But let me say that one of the difficult jobs of any CEO, and perhaps even a board, is to ensure that managers, firstly, that report to him directly, but secondly, managers at a third or fourth level perform according to their brief and their role definition. And arising from that, various actions can, in fact, emerge. So the issue of how managers deal with lack of performance is a question that underpins what we're saying as well. I certainly agree with Honorable Hadebe and many others, including yourself, that the disciplinary processes within Eskom must continue, because that's part of fair labor practice in South Africa. However, whilst you make your inquiries about, or rather get opinions on the inquiry, I think Eskom will do the same. And then at this stage, Chair, I think it's important that none of what anybody is saying means that aspersions are being cast on the integrity of the board or the CEO at this point in time. Thank you very much.
There's certainly no aspersion. And I make the proposals I make precisely because the matters which are before us have in one way or the other played themselves out in the public discourse without them being tested within the parameters of due process. This process, which I'm proposing to members is in the collective interests of ESCOM when we have received correspondence. The correspondence, Minister, which we are referring to, was sent in response to a letter, we suspect, from the Director General of your department. And in that letter, he indicates now, in response to the letter, which is dated, it says, well, your letter dated 24 February 2021 is acknowledged and its contents noted. So this is the CPO responding to the DG of Public Enterprises. It is in that communication where he then indicates that he's bringing also these matters to our attention and putting them to us. So I would imagine then that your DG should be in receipt of this letter. In the event that it's not, we will share it with you and the department as well. And of course, we will be sending this letter and its content to the CEO so that he is afforded the right of reply to us, to enable the committee to make an informed decision. No decision has been made on anybody as yet, as I'm saying. Just as we closed 2020, we received correspondence from the leader of the UDM about the DBSA, and we are now sharing an opportunity for all those whom have been alleged to have done one thing or the other to present their side of the story. So what we don't want to labor on is having received correspondence and not act on it or respond to it. At the same time, these allegations left untested become dangerous for ESCOM moving forward. So I think it's in that context that we are asking, but the letter will be shared with the department. That is not a problem. So it's in that context, and we can all rest assured, we are not casting aspersions. We are not making a determination as yet, but we are going to follow a particular process. And I will report to colleagues tonight, when I've received some sort of guidance or initial guidance from Parliament Legal, our legal advisor. I will ask that they'll be on standby soon, and we'll talk to them and they'll give us guidance. It's to establish process correctly. So I think we can leave it this matter at that. If I may revert back to colleagues, because I had wanted a reaction to the proposals I'd made as a means of moving forward on this matter. Right, colleagues?
Chair, it's Honorable Hadebe.
With an H?
Yes, Hadebe with an H. Can I just get clarity on our previous decision, and has been well articulated by two honorable members. So in essence, you are proposing that we proceed without the chief procurement officer.
I was laboring under the impression that the chief procurement officer was relevant to the issues of expansions and deviations, which...
Yeah, I'm raising that even within the annual report that I'm leading, there are issues of irregularities and companies. So I'll have to be careful in raising those issues and ensure that I put those issues aside. And that will interfere with my thought process in the manner in which I anticipated to pose question. But if that's the proposal, I don't have a problem. We want to deal with the matters. I'm good to go. I'm just disorganized, and I'll be found wanting in making sure that I do not crucify the wrong Jesus or cry the wrong funeral in asking questions for the author of some of the documents and the signatures into some of the documents is not here. But I'm capable and equal to the task. I'll see how I navigate through it, if it's the feeling of the committee that you proceed.
Colleagues, Honorable Hadebe is placing that issue before us. Can we make a determination, colleagues, so we can manage our time correctly?
Chair.
Honorable Dex.
Yeah, Chair. Chair, I just have the view here that we will not be doing justice, Chair, to this annual report, Chair. in dealing with it in this piecemeal manner, Chair. The matter was discussed last week, Chair. And it was very, very difficult in that meeting because we're not getting answers. We couldn't get answers, proper answers, because the person that signed the report, the signature of the report, was not present in the meeting. Now again, we said, last week we said, look, this week we want this person here. Now again, we are here, and if we continue, I really do not believe that we'll do justice to today's discussion. But I mean, I'm in the hands of the rest of the members of this committee. But I believe that we should not proceed. That we should only proceed once we do start that investigation. I personally believe that we should not proceed with today's discussion on this matter, because we're only doing justice. Thank you.
Okay. Are you making a proposal, or are you expressing a view?
It's a firm proposal. In light of last week's discussion and the agreements we have, decisions we have taken last week, and we're back today at square one, Chair, and in the light that...
We seem to be losing the honourable...
Hello? Yes, Chair? Chair, can you hear me now?
We lost you there momentarily.
Okay, let me...
If you may start again, we lost you there momentarily.
I think this is a firm proposal that I'm making today, that in light of last week's discussions and the decision that we have taken last week, that we cannot proceed without the Chief Financial Officer being present. And in light of the material effects of what is stated in the letter of the Chief Procurement Officer on today's discussion, that we should not proceed with today's meeting, Chair. I seriously and honestly believe that we should not proceed, but we will not be doing any justice to this discussion proceeding in this manner, Chair. Thank you.
All right. I see Honorable Mente is wanting to comment. All right, Honorable Mente.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Chairperson, there was a resolution in the last week's meeting. ESCOM should have guided us and told us that it's not going to happen. And then it was then going to be up to us to use the mechanisms within Parliament in order for us to summon the CPO. We took a resolution last week that the CPO, as the head of procurement processes within ESCOM, and in majority, the irregularities when it comes to expenditure are done at the CPO level. And therefore, it means that he must be here to answer for himself. We are sitting with letters that are bearing his signature, as from last week, requesting deviations that were not supposed to be requested, and then the Treasury turned them down. He must come and answer as to what then informed him to do such things, and everyone else. I even said earlier, we're not going to be subjected to the very same process that was abuse, which happened last week, where people were just being called left, right, and center, come and answer. We think you fit here, answer here, you fit. We need people who have signatures on the letters requesting to spend money of the South African fiscal. And if those people are not here, who are we questioning then? And the issue of a disciplinary hearing, by all means, it must be continued by ESCOM. We have nothing to do with that. Our mandate as COPPA is to police public funds. And in this case, we are sitting with irregular expenditures of ESCOM. Even on an annual report that you are suggesting that Honorable Hadibe must continue with, the majority of our mandate in the annual report has to do with the expenditure as raised by the Auditor General and all the financial statements, therefore, that were submitted by ESCOM. And then the auditing team of ESCOM must come and answer. But in majority, what we are looking at is how they have irregularly spent the public purse, and how do we move forward from there. And therefore, if the CPO is not here, who are we talking to? Are we going to be called for all the people that were succumbing to give different reasons from what even is written on the report of themselves as ECHO. We are sitting with more than 20 deviations on their on its own for quarter 1, 2, and 3, as presented to us by National Treasury. We're ready to do that when we are ready to question the chief procurement officer. We're not here to question people that stand in on behalf of others, of which they are not going to take responsibility for what is written on those letters. Thank you, Chair. We cannot continue, Chair, without the CPO. Thank you.
All right. There's a proposal on the floor which has been supported. Is there a counter proposal?
My hand is up.
All right, the Honourable Mawodwa.
Chair,
thank you very much.
Okay. Honourable Lata, we will come in after Honourable Mawodwa.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I fully concur with what Honourable Mente has just said. Chair, I remember last week when you attended this meeting, you yourself were battling to understand who is who. When people, the names are called, you even asked, what is the position? The CEO could not even answer you on that one. Purely because there were no executive management of ESCOM that would take responsibility and accountability. So therefore, Chair, we cannot continue the CPO because we are dealing with the issues of ESCOM that involve the CPO. It will not serve any purpose to say, let's put aside the questions that are made for CPO. It doesn't work like that. They work together with the CEO. So we want all of them in the same room, not some special arrangement that you want to have only with the CPO. And then when you have the CPO, then we will not have the CEO. So I'm proposing that we postpone this meeting and call, allow you to engage Parliament, as you said, seek legal advice on how we need to proceed with this matter. But Oksala, the CPO needs to be in the meeting where we're going to be discussing this issue. I thank you, Chair.
All right. All right, let me just... sorry, Honourable Hatem, yes.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to also, in you arriving at the conclusion, to give you a taste of my quagmire and predicament in raising issues of irregularities without having...
I think that's fine. I got right. Your con...
Yeah. Because, okay.
Understood you. Very
right.
Well.
I wanted to give you two examples within my hearing so that you have a sense that we are in a quagmire. But ultimately, we do have an accounting authority. The buck stops with the accounting officers and accounting authority.
Yeah. No, that is true. Yes, Honorable, that the minister?
Yes.
Right, Honorable Godan.
Yeah, I was just going to support the last point that Honorable Hadebe made, that the CPO doesn't run ESCOM. It's the board in the first instance and the CEO and the management team in the second instance. So that's my first point. The second, Chair, is that the top executive is there to respond to any questions pertaining to the annual report. And the annual report is not only about deviations and procurement. It's about the financial status and the operations of ESCOM itself. Thirdly, the CPO is suspended, as I understand it, and therefore Mr. Shichikano doesn't have any status within ESCOM at this point in time. The board, as Mr. Hadebe says, will have to decide together with the chief executive who takes responsibility for the procurement area and to the extent possible respond to your queries as well. So I trust that you will take some of those factors into account as you come to your view on whether this meeting should be postponed or not. And of course, all of us have made special arrangements to be here to discuss the annual report, amongst other matters. While you get to legal clarity, as you said, Chair, on the matter of the inquiry. Thank you.
All right. Here's the issue, and I've received a notification now from the communication that the committee has as the meeting proceeds, which I will delve into shortly. Let's separate the issue so that our process is clear. One, this is just on the basis of precedence in so far as how we interact with ESCOM. Even last week, the responses were coming from different quarters, and members are expressing the fundamental view that the CPO is the signatory to the correspondence which National Treasury processes insofar as extensions and deviations are concerned. And so that point must be made. Secondly, the point, Minister, that you make about the locus standi of the CPO in ESCOM is pertinent to the disciplinary process which is being undertaken by the independent panel. But the flip side of that, insofar as our perspective on the committee operations generally and of Parliament is concerned, is that we may call anybody to explain matters of public accounts. And it was precisely why I was saying that we need to take this issue with the caution and legal sensitivity it deserves and due to it in the context of this. The how do we proceed with the CPO? So I was raising that matter and in that context. Of course, I take the point about making special arrangements to be here. But it would not be out of precedent that we would have also at some point or other made special arrangements for meetings and they have not proceeded, not at our behest, but at the behest of those who appear before us. So that's a double-edged sword amongst others. So I'm certainly not downplaying what you have to put aside. But the issue at hand here, colleagues, is one, and I'm trying to now, having said that, separate the issues. One, we have got allegations that we have to deal with, as we have done with other allegations before. A process, and hearing members, we are in agreement in terms of an investigative committee inquiry into the allegations that have been made, consistent with how we have done with the DBSA matter and on how Parliament Scopa dealt with the land bank matter a few years ago. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that we have got expansions and deviations today which are scheduled in the absence of the CPO. Honorable Mente is the lead on that particular focus area. And she is making the point that the responses received last week were not satisfactory because the person who is directly responsible for the processing of that work within ESCOM was not present. And we want to deal with the nitty-gritties of the issues. The third aspect is Honorable Hadebe, who is responsible for the annual report as the leaders. We all are, but in the focus area, is indicating that he may find himself, to use his word, in a quagmire, and he is constrained. I would imagine that all of these things flow out of the fact of how we have conducted ESCOM hearings previously, where responses have been devolved and decentralized to line function officials who are responsible for them. And what we have seen last week, as indicated, then was not satisfactory. So I think I'm really trying to sift the issues. Honorable Van Meenen raises the point that we should not allow ourselves to be sidetracked, and I fully agree with her. that we must not allow for that particular eventuality. The fourth aspect, fifth aspect, which has been raised, is in the issue of correspondence. And I'm saying, and I'm putting it to colleagues, that as the chairperson of the board has indicated, the issues raised are as old as 2020 February, which is 13 months ago. Therefore, these are not new matters which arise out of the scheduling of this hearing. Because ordinarily, then, if that was the case, we should have received correspondence last week preempting the hearing. And I still maintain, colleagues, it took the committee's probing to receive the explanation or the information that the CPO, in fact, is suspended and on sick. So I'm trying to distill all the matters accordingly so that the sequencing which I've picked up from members is understood. And I think I'm summarizing members correctly, which is those are the issues. And now I'm looking at the here that members are suggesting, and I really hate for me to put this matter to a vote. But colleagues, because the group is not the official platform, I'm going to have to ask members one by one to indicate those who are present whether now we proceed or not. So if I may get that from you, so that we can go to a logical conclusion. Right, Honorable Dex.
Thank you, Chair. Hey, Chair, you're more democratic than the House sitting. In the House sitting, we make it the whip.
I'm a democrat. I'm almost a born priest.
Hey, the whip just count on the platform. And today, so many ANCs in favor. No, but it's fine, Chair. We can ask all the members because it's a democratic process. We want members to exercise.
Well, I can put it by party if we want to save time.
You don't have to put it by party, Chair. It's fine. As a member of SCOPA and the ANC work for SCOPA, I definitely believe that we should not proceed in light of all the reasons that has been raised by members, including the EFF, including the ANC, including yourself, Chair. I seriously believe that we should not proceed because we will not do justice. Thank you, Chair. You can go to the other member.
Because I'm going to go through the list of participants in no particular order. I think in alphabetical order. Right, Honorable Van Minen?
My name starting with B and my surname with V, I always seem to end up somewhere in the alphabetical list.
Yeah, all right.
This is very unfortunate. This is the second time we have not been able to proceed. I really have an issue with this. I think it also underlines the issue with online meetings not being satisfactory. Unfortunately, it's now virtually 11 o'clock, so we've lost an hour and a half of this time, time that I think is important. Obviously, I'll be bound by the democratic process, but I really must protest this. Thank you very much.
Honorable Hatebe.
Yeah, no, Chair. You see, I'm even wearing a jacket now. At 12 o'clock, I need to catch a shuttle to Parliament. And indeed, what the latter speaker has raised, we have already lost an hour. And I don't want to find myself in trouble by defying the instruction from our whip. So I line myself with the views expressed by the whip, Chair. You know, there's democratic centralism at play here.
Honorable Swartz, all right, I'll come back there. Honorable Tolashe.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll go along with what Comrade Dirks has proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mente.
Chair, as I've stated, the meeting can only move with the people who have signed the documents. Therefore, let's postpone until we get the CPO to answer and anyone who has signed a letter to ask for deviation on expenditures and appearing on the letters on irregular expenditures. So therefore, let's postpone. Thank you.
All right, Honorable Liz.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to add really on what Benedicta has said, except to say that the issue of the suspended CPO appearing before the committee may require subpoena, given that his suspension probably makes it impossible for Eskom to demand his presence here, because that would be the normal normal way. Eskom would ensure that their employees are here. But let's see how it goes. Thank you.
Honorable Samuel. Dr. Samuel.
Yes, Chairman.
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Okay. I'm riding on your proposition while we are dealing with these matters, we must be as well cautious on the legality that comes with them. We must lie solidly on the legal aspect. So the advice would be critical. And after sorting that advice, we can then deliberate and actually deal with whatever aspect that comes our own way. It's a fact of the matter that Eskom should not be barred in dealing with their own internal challenges, and it's their right to do so. But once we receive the correspondence, we must find a better way of dealing with it, so that it should not be on our way in dealing with the matters of our own government. So I agree with you 100%. Thank you very much.
All right. Honorable Swart, thank you, Officer. I think Honorable Swart is having connectivity issues. All right. Right. Okay. Colleagues, I think I've covered everyone. Mam Zibul, I hope I didn't. Yes, Mam Zibul.
Yeah, you forgot me.
No, I didn't. Honorable Mente is the principal member on the committee. And so since I was round robin, I'm your colleague. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. All right, colleagues, I think some members are just having connectivity issues. All right. Colleagues, let's do this, because this is, I think there'll be an appreciation. We are in uncharted waters. It's unprecedented, and we need to humble on this matter. To the CEO, I will be forwarding you the correspondence we have received, and of course with the covering letter explaining the position of where things are, so that you can be afforded the opportunity to respond to the issues and allegations leveled against you and to us. The matters are in the seriousness of them is that allegations by the CPO have been made against the CEO. So two chiefs is an issue. So CEO, you will receive that correspondence, and the board, of course, as well. Once we've received guidance on how to structure the committee, the investigative committee inquiry / hearing, we will schedule then how we move forward. Honorable Liz, you are quite right. In the event that we as resolved now that the CPO must appear to answer on questions related to his role in conjunction with the rest of Eskom, if he responds negatively to an invitation, then the processes of subpoena will be triggered. So the advice we've received prior is that subpoena is not the first step. So if the respondent says no, then we will have to take a resolution as a committee for the purposes of the subpoena. We will also explore, of course, the legalities around his presence here and to the extent to which they will be binding to ESCOM or not. So if colleagues can then allow us to explore those legal dynamics so that we are not found wanting on one hand, but also at the same time that we do not compromise the work that is being done at ESCOM. Ours is to ensure functionality, effectiveness and efficiency to an extent we are an enabler, but also at the same time to hold everybody accountable. So in the course of those very complex roles and responsibilities we have, we must always be legally correct. But what we will be proceeding ahead with is, of course, an inquiry into the very serious and grave allegations that are before us as part and parcel of the basket of the issues of the annual report. So I think, colleagues, we will leave it at that. Let me take this opportunity to thank the minister. And also, for the record, I was advised that the DM had apologized, the Deputy Minister of Public Enterprise. So his apology may be put into the record. I'd like to thank the Minister, Chairperson of the Board, Prof, and the CEO and the executives. I would like to thank you very much. I do want to stress wholeheartedly and factually so that this is not a response to the ongoing public spat, for lack of a better term, of all sorts of accusations are flying wherever they are flying. The matter had been placed before the committee solely on the basis that we have received correspondence. And from time to time, where the correspondence has got a material bearing on our work, we must take a decision on that. And so a process will unfold. And so in my view, the meeting is suspended pending the finalization of all these processes that we are having. So this is not a postponement for those who may be excited out there. On programming on when all these matters will be processed. So if I may then request colleagues that the meeting stand adjourned. The sitting is at 1500 hours this afternoon, and then the committee will meet at 18:30 to receive a briefing from the SIU on matters related to DENEL and SAA. It should be a very brief meeting, it's not long. And then I will report, colleagues, on the initial consultations which I will embark upon once this meeting concludes now. So having said that, everyone, thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Chair?
Yellow.
Can you request that the next meeting be a physical meeting?
Oh, yes, sorry, yes.
We really want an eye contact to interact with those that will be interviewing face-to-face. At least we're on level one now. The president has...
No, you are quite right.
Go ahead to meet physically.
We have been granted permission now to meet physically. And the Secretariat is processing all the applications with Parliament for us to make use of the rooms that have been prepared for COVID protocol observing rooms in Parliament. And so those processes are now underway, and I'm sure that we'll communicate them in terms of when we've been granted to do so. It may not be all the meetings because other committees are applying, but by and large, our applications, they are all in. So we will communicate as and when that we've granted. So that continues to be a work in progress. Right. Thank you, colleagues. The meeting stands adjourned.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, presumably those will be hybrid meetings.
Yes, they will. We are using the rooms which are hybrid compliant.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, all of you.